Let's talk cards. I'm Zach Blackerby. He's Jamie Crossan. And we're talking cards today. Comps or not? When do you need to go off comps? When is it okay to kind of pay over if it's a card you really want? As well as other things that's been happening, including Shohei Ohtani, Jamie. Goodness.
Shohei.
Gracious.
Man, what a market. Have we ever seen anything like this market in baseball? I can't remember it.
Well, especially with him not really playing, right? It's gone up over the offseason. We saw Drake May a few weeks ago explode, but that makes sense. He was going to the Super Bowl, and you got that two-week lull where you're just sitting there. Shohei stuff, man, especially that you and I have talked about this before with case hits, baseball case hits, Topps / Fanatics case hits. They obviously don't carry the same water as Panini case hits, but they do if it's of Shohei compared to all the other guys. Shohei home field advantage versus any other player, it's like it's not even the same thing. Or those all aces cards, if it's Shohei, it's like that was a $15 card like not that long ago, and it's exploded. Right. If it's got Shohei Ohtani on it, buckle up.
Well, you remember a few episodes ago, man, we talked about who are you buying, and I told you that I was gobbling up every Shohei that I could find. Currently in my two sale box, which makes up a ton of inventory, there's probably about 100 plus Shoheis, ranging from just sort of your base inserts to your common cards. But Zach, I'll put a Shohei Ohtani normal Topps, nothing about it, striking card in my sale, put it at $1, and those are going on average for $5 to $10. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, and a lot of them are just like base or like base inserts or like, you know, third year Angels card. Like there's nothing crazy or inherently rare about them, but it's Shohei. People can't get enough of them. Do you think?
Well, I think you're talking about arguably one of the best baseball players to live. You and I have talked about this, and our conversation has centered around him potentially being in the Mahomes stratosphere for baseball. And I think that that holds water. You actually made that point in our conversation, and I completely agree with it, because he's just demanding a market that I haven't seen in baseball for sure. And I'm reaping the benefits of that now because I bought early and I'm rolling sales. As a matter of fact, I have a sale going right now.
You do?
And I have about 50 Shoheis thereabouts, and it's hand over fist. And it's to a point where when people throw comps up, we'll talk about this a little bit, but when they throw comps up, I feel comfortable in this Shohei market, at least at this juncture, being like, I'll wait because I'm not going to be handcuffed to the last comp that went for a best fixed price at $50 for a guy needing gas money. So, it's a crazy market. But go ahead with what you were saying.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel any pressure to – not pressure, any sense of urgency, possibly a better word, to move those before a certain point? Or do you think they'll continue to soar or at least hold steady – when the season starts, as things are heating up in spring training throughout Major League Baseball, they're going to start getting things going soon. Any urgency there? You say, no, Shohei's pretty safe. Cause that's probably where I would land here.
Yeah. I mean, it's to some degree of urgency. We talked about this. My philosophy with selling is to sell. Yeah, huge. I would be a terrible sailor, but anyhow, selling any baseball player before the season starts. I think that you get that max value prior to the season starting because they can't. I mean, we've seen this recently with Drake May, right? All it takes is one game, and context kind of goes out the window. We think that he had a shoulder injury. We think he was banged up. He went from an historically
accurate,
superior, proficient, 70 plus percent to just not being able to throw from here to there. He looked like Cam Newton with the Patriots. Like he just couldn't complete a pass from here to there, it felt like. And he was very sporadic. And so, I mean, all it took was one game for his market to kind of level off. And so I think the same could probably be said with Shohei when you have just such a surge like we're seeing. I think the bubble has to pop, right? Like it can't just keep going up and up.
Especially with some of these like quote unquote normal cards, rookie stuff. Right. Sure. I don't think there's a ceiling there. Low numbered autos, you know, all of that stuff. The stuff that actually has like some rarity to it. I pulled up because this is the card I flipped not too long ago. The 2023 All Aces Shohei Ohtani in a PSA 10. So one where it looks like he's on a playing card for those who maybe don't know what that's called. I'm sure you've seen those cards though, where it looks like they're, you know, there's an ace. It looks like a playing card. And even the back right. looks like a playing card. They're cool looking right. cards. My understanding, they're not case hits though. They're just like, mm-hmm. they're an insert.
Right.
And I bought a Shohei, this was probably 3 months ago, PSA 10. I paid $300 for it. And okay. I sold it maybe 3 weeks ago for $600.
Wow.
It's a little over 600. So solid flip, but I'm looking at it right now. Comps last sold 775. There was a best offer for 1200. So I probably sold for about 800 or 900. Last sold here, sold one prior for $899.99, $750, $890, $800. It's like, man, I mean, I'll take the flip. I'm not like kicking myself for it, but it's just my thought was how much higher can this card go that's not that rare, you know?
Yeah.
People can't get enough Shohei Ohtani right now.
Apparently, it can go up another $150 to $200. But
clearly,
you do that every time, Zach. I mean, you take the money that I mean, if you can double your money, that's the goal. I mean,
well, especially when you're looking around, it's like I don't think this is a $1,000 card. I don't think it should be.
Right. Right. It shouldn't be, but it is, yeah. And we'll reap the benefits. Yeah, Shohei is crazy right now. So what about you? Are you in a position where what's your stance on Shohei? Are you buying, selling, or both?
I'm probably not touching it right now. I think I'm with you. I think the bubble's gonna pop at some point. I think you'll see, and we see this with football all the time. There's people that say the otherwise that people always say, oh, well, it's going to go up as soon as the season starts. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. It doesn't go up when the season starts.
No, so it doesn't.
I would wait. If you wanted to stock up on Shohei now, I personally would wait. I hope none of the people that are, you know, regulars of your sale that's going on right now, Jamie, are watching or listening to this right now because I want them to buy all of your Shoheis. But, I'd hold off right now. If I had them, I'd sell them. I think you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm actually doing both. I'm actually still buying if I can find it at a good price, and then I'm trying to move it. But also, the fail-safe for a guy like Shohei is, and this is something that I'm growing more comfortable with, is I'm buying cards that I'm okay with keeping. You know, I'm getting into that place in my journey in the hobby where if I can't get a good price, I'll just sit on a card. And I haven't been that way. You know, I've been willing to take losses. But with a guy like Shohei, I think his stature trumps sort of the normal ebb and flow of that practice, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think guys like him, LeBron, Kobe, Jordan, you know, just some of your goats, Brady, those are guys, Mahomes, these are players that I think that you don't have to be handcuffed to the last comp or where the market is now, especially with the retired guys. It's not like they tore an ACL or got into an argument with the coach and they're getting benched. I mean, their market's their market. And for me, if I can look 2 weeks ago and see that Kobe Bryant sold for $300 and I have a card that that same card and it recently sold for $175, I'll just wait. Like if somebody's going to march that comp in front of me and say, hey, it's last sold for $175. I always joke with people.
They will.
Yeah, they will for sure. I always joke. I'm like, do you think it's because he got benched? Do you think it's because of the injury that he tore the ACL? And then we kind of chuckle at how absurd it is because obviously in my mind, if it hit that peak one time, it'll do it again. I mean, that's my perspective.
Well, especially with, you know, the GOAT stuff right now, whether it's Brady, Jordan, LeBron, Mahomes, Curry, Shohei is certainly a part of that. And it's interesting because, you know, some of those guys are still playing, and some of them have more to play in their careers than others. And some of them are like, you know, the LeBron aspect of how much of his stuff is a buy just because of, you know, retirement watch. Does it shoot up in value as soon as he retires? The answer to that is yes, I think.
Yes.
So,
oh, it's a guarantee for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, or like how much of that is baked in? And like some of it can be baked in, but there's no way it doesn't go up more, I would say. Same with Curry. Mm-hmm. I actually think Curry stuff is too low compared to everybody else's, if I'm being honest with you, especially his early stuff. But
yeah, totally agree.
But yeah, I mean, all of those, you know, people, GOATs are hot right now, and I don't expect that to go away just because I think if you've been in this hobby for any stretch of time, you probably want some stability, because a lot of times you get in and you're just buying rookies or numbered rookies, and it's really easy to get burned if you're not buying the right 20-ish players just because of the volatility of it. A lot of it comes to timing. Some of it's luck, especially early on. But if you buy a Brady, like, you're good. You're fine.
Yeah.
If you buy a LeBron 100%. Card that's got some value to it, like, you're fine. It's not going that's down. Right. And so that's I right. think that's a big part of what's going on. You do this when I'm 0-6 of you, like, picking two different comps, and it's usually a GOAT and then somebody new. And it's like, yeah, the person who, you know, paid more for a Jackson Dart card than a Michael Jordan card, like, that's probably not going to go well for him, right? Like, we all know that's probably not going to go well for that guy.
Right, right.
So I think some of it has to do with stability in the hobby, too.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. In way of transition, if you're ready, this time for the Sky Ridge Celebi Gawk Award.
Okay.
Do you have a Gawk candidate for this week? Because I'm ready to look.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. All right. So my candidate this week, in honor of the Sky Ridge Celebi Gawk Award, this is that card that if you're scrolling, if you have a chance to buy it, or maybe it's in your personal collection, you just look at it, stop what you're doing, sit back and gawk. And for me this week, and this hurts me a little bit as an avid Auburn fan, represent my team, we're Auburn guys.
Uh-huh.
But greatness is greatness. This is a little less painful because if you're watching at home or if you're listening, what I have in my hand is an Eminence, which is an extremely high value box. Joe Namath, 5/5, 3-color patch auto. It's just a beautiful card if you're able to see it. I have that on sale right now for $400, which is around comps, you know, because he's had that surge lately where he's thrown for 400 yards each the last couple of weeks. And so that's why his market's hot right now. So let's jump on that. But just a great card. When I saw this card and bought it, I thought it was just such a
cool
card.
And it was as an Auburn guy and as a massive Patriots fan, Joe Namath should be like my least favorite player ever, but I actually don't have a problem with him.
Yeah.
I went to the PC for my Gawk Award. Flawless rookie Ramondre Stevenson, number to 15. I love that patch. Love that patch.
That patch is amazing, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that his shoulder? Is that the stripes on his shoulder? What is that?
It's the logo, the Patriots logo, the tail part of the Pats logo. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Disgusting. Yep. That'll never leave, will it?
No. Nope. It will not. It will not. Next all.
On that note.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, on that note, talking about, you know, comps and different things that we've been discussing, you and I talked offline about something that I think is going to be a very interesting, fun conversation. A few weeks ago, I guess now more like a month ago, right? Month and a half. Is my timeline correct?
Since Collecticon?
Yeah, you bought
I've been over
Sky Ridge Celebi. Has it been over a month?
Yeah.
So for those of you maybe listening for the first time, about a month and a half ago, to give you some background, Zach been chasing a card for a couple of years. It's a TCG Pokemon Skyridge Celebi. It's just an amazing card.
PSA 10.
You'd been looking for it in a 9, but you found it in a 10, and you made the biggest card purchase of your life.
Right.
Dropped $10,000.
Yeah.
On this Skyridge Celebi, which was just a kind of purchase where you're sucking the wind in.
I can see it right here. Yeah. Next to me all day. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell everyone kind of what happened after you bought that card for $10,000 over the course of the next month. That same card in a PSA 10 sold a couple times. So share what happened there.
So some of the thought process was, there's a chance that I never get the chance at this card in a 10 at that price ever again. Because one, I've been looking for it for 2 years. It's the first one I've seen. And two, you look at it, the Skyridge Hollows, there's a set of, I think there's 6 cards in it, and they're called like the Crystal sets. It's one of them. There's a Charizard that's massive. There's a Lugia. There's a Ho-Oh. There's a Nidoking, Celebi, and I'm forgetting what the 6th one is. I think there's 6.
I love these names. These are great kids' names, by the way, guys.
Sure, 100%. I tried to name my second daughter Charizard. Leah said no.
Which is fine. Leah didn't go for it.
Which is fine.
Too bad.
but anyway, so like, I know I'm not the only person looking at this, and also, you know, Celebi's other cards, like if you look at Alt or Card Ladder, like, you know, it's got all the athletes and characters that are trending up. Like Celebi's on there, but this card doesn't sell too often because there's only like 200 of them, and a lot of them are in collections because it's so hard to get. And so I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a risk. I paid full comp. Probably would have paid over if I had to.
Yeah.
And since then, as you mentioned, there was one on bids when I bought it. It sold for... about 4 days after I bought it, the bids ended, and it was at $12,000. There was a buy it now on eBay for $14,750. Somebody bought it at full ask as soon as that alt sale ended. So those were two. I was up right after those two sales about a week later, and then one sold. One was on auction at Fanatics about a week later, and it sold for $17,400. And now all the buy it nows on eBay that were at like 20K, they all, like, the cheapest you can get the card now is $35,000 on eBay, and there's no on auctions. So, yeah. Sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good, right?
So, okay, what goes into when you mentioned when you saw the card, you're at 10,000, that's full ask at the time. And I mean, here's a good question. Do you care as much about comps when you're buying for your PC? What's your mindset? Because typically for guys like us and a lot of people throughout the hobby, they're buying to make a profit on a lot of cards. They're buying to flip.
Yeah.
And so with a PC card like that, especially at that sticker price, like, what's your mindset going in, and do comps matter when you're buying PC?
I think it depends on what it is. Like if you're trying to PC and get a bunch of a certain player that, you know, you can easily find them, like Drake May, for instance. If I wanted Drake May's rookie prism in a PSA 10, or, you know, any kind of numbered in a PSA 10, and there's a lot of them out there, and they're like sold a lot. Like, I think that's one thing.
Right.
There's stuff that doesn't sell. Like, you're a big LeBron guy. Like, there's going to be several like big LeBron cards that you're going to have to pay over comp for. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants them, and there's a limited amount, especially if it's older stuff or it's low numbered. And it's like, no, sorry, there's going to be somebody who wants this enough.
Mm.
So I think a lot of it is, okay, well, this is something that people are going to be looking for. And so you've got to pay over it. And as far as PC stuff goes, like, if it's something that I know there's a chance I'll never see it again.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get it.
it's all bets are off. Like, okay, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Zach. You were the beneficiary of some amazing sales that happened after your purchase.
Total luck, right? Yeah.
That just built in instant equity for that card should you ever decide to move it. I mean, to our point earlier, like with Kobe and Brady and Jordan, Selby's not going to tear an ACL. He's not going to get benched.
True.
I mean, if there's a precedent for that card, which there now are several precedents for high value.
Yeah.
You can always point back to that. So my question is, if you had, let's say it went the other way, let's say that the next couple of sales, instead of going exponentially up, they went 8,000 and 6,000
or whatever.
Yeah. What's your response in that? I mean, as a PC purchase, like how does that affect you?
I was fine with it. And that's actually the conversation I had with our buddy Alan when we were leaving the show. And he actually brought up, he's like, okay, if the next sale's for 7,000, like, okay, like it's going to sell again after that. And you're not looking to sell. If you are going to sell it, it's long-term.
Right.
And so it's only going to get tougher and tougher to find these in time. So I would have been fine with it. I would have been fine with it. Now, if I was buying it to flip it, that would be concerning for sure. But
yeah, for sure. And that's happened to us. We've talked about our hobby confessionals.
Yeah. And I still think with a card like that, you could, I still think you can ask if there was a sale like a week prior for $3,000 more than what the last sale was. Like, I think you can still ask that and it not be crazy. Yeah. So I think that's part of it too.
Yeah, no, I love hearing that. It really raises a really important point. I mean, we're married to comps in a lot of situations. And so let's shift that conversation from PC purchase to flip purposes, right? Like flip purchases and purposes, right? So is there ever a time that you feel like in the hobby that we might be too married to comps? Where are there situations in a flip environment, a flip scenario, where it's quote unquote okay to ignore the comps and to surge past those and say, you know what, this is a Curry auto. I get the last comp was $600 that for an auction that ended at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday from a guy who had 9 sales. And if you investigate, you find this over and over. Like some of the ones that, you know, we blindly look at comps, we'll take a look and we just look at the, oh, it's the last sold. But then if you dive in, a lot of times those last solds have some context that we tend to ignore a lot of times. So when is it okay to kind of just ignore the comps or maybe disregard them to a degree? Or is it ever okay to do that when we're doing the flipping game?
Yeah. So if you're going over comps, some of this depends on like how you move stuff. Like a lot of our stuff goes to people that you send sheets and, you know, they're doing different stuff with it. And you have to sell to them based off of a comp, you know, whether it's 88% or 92% or whatever it is, you have to sell it off of a comp. But the stuff that you want to buy and hold and put in your showcase or, you know, list on a, you know, one of your sales or one of our sales, we use Discord and it's just like, okay, yeah. You're going to lowball me or offer me, you know, 90% of last sold and that's fine. I'm not going to sell it for that. Did you see that video that went kind of viral of this guy filming the transaction and he was asking about like, hey, can I see, you know, this Brady, this Jordan, and this, you know, it was a bunch of goats. And the guy, the vendor was like, yeah, but I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm not going to sell these under comps. And the guy's like, yeah, that's cool. I just want to, you know, get a value and you can look and see if my stuff and, you know, figure something out. And then the guy offers, like, he's saying like, oh, well, this is worth this. And the guy like told him that he was going to not be like, I'm fine. You can price your cars for whatever you want to, but then don't say that, you know, can you do this after I already told you that I wasn't going to do that. And so the vendor kind of crashed out a little bit. And a lot of the comments were like, yo, crappy vendor. And I'm like, No, like, could he have handled his tone better? Sure. But I think right. that guy's like, hey, I'm not going to sell you for under blank. And they're like, well, will you do under blank? And it's like, no, he told you.
Right.
And so I think going back to the GOAT conversation we're talking about, like, I don't think comps matter as much for Shohei right now. I think Brady's still too low as a market, if I'm being 100% honest with you. LeBron, you know, your GOAT stuff, your case hit stuff, like, yeah, pay strong. You're probably going to be okay.
Yeah. No, I feel like I'm learning that right now in some instances. I'm typically, I would say 98%.
Especially the way you sell stuff, like with markets and like, or on Facebook marketplaces and groups rather, and like having bids and all that. Like, I think definitely the way you're moving stuff, you should not be as concerned about it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting because my higher end stuff, I find myself being more concerned, like in your claim sales and different things like that. If I'm running something for an auction, I mean, it just is what it is. But I found on the lower end stuff, sort of to our point earlier about Shohei as an example, you put that stuff in for a dollar and just watch it soar. I mean, the same thing can be said for like Puka Nacua and Bijan Robinson. I mean, there's people that when they see those names, Jahmyr Gibbs, they'll pay up for them.
Yeah.
And they're nice cards, but are they worth $9 or $10 or $15 or $20? I mean, no, they're not. I mean, but someone.
But if you're collecting, you know, if you're collecting those guys or whatever, 100%. Maybe you had those guys on your fantasy team last year and they did well for you. And so you became a fan of the player and you don't have one of their cards yet. Okay.
That's
it is worth it.
Yeah. Totally. 100%. Yeah. Last things, man, I want to give an LTC Let's Talk Cards shout out.
Yes.
A lot of times when we sell online, and I love how you guys do this. You're very good on your Instagram for just shouting out people that you're bringing in cards for. I'll see several on your posts probably this week as Elijah's at the Dallas Card Show. But wanted to take the opportunity to do that. We have so many good relationships, you and I do, with friends that we've made in the hobby, people we do business with.
Yeah.
I want to give a quick shout out to my friend, Kevin Hambone Hamlin, a couple weeks ago. If you've ever done business with Hambone, what a pleasure.
Sure.
You find him on Instagram, Hambone Sports Cards.
Legend.
He is just a gentleman. Treats you with respect, pays fair, works with you. He has high end, low end, mid end. We did a deal a few weeks ago in Talladega, I think is where we were. All the shows started running together, man. Sometimes I'm like, I don't remember where I am.
Sure.
But we did a great deal for some Bo Nix, like a Bo Nix Kaboom, Bo Nix stained glass. He paid more than fair for those. And just always a pleasure to do business with. So if you hit him up on Instagram, he will treat you right. Tell him that Zach and Jamie Auburn Cards sent you. He will do you well as a buyer or seller.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Another edition of Let's Talk Cards in the books. Please follow us on socials. Let's Talk Cards Pod on Instagram, and please subscribe to us here on YouTube. Helps the show out a ton. Till next time, this has been Let's Talk Cards.